Hello and welcome to First Baptist Church. Today's speaker is Pastor Jeff Reynolds.
Let's pray. And now, O Lord, by your holy word and by your Holy Spirit, may we behold the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world, Jesus the Christ, the Messiah, the Anointed One. Let us see Jesus high and lifted up. Let us all be drawn closer to him. May we all become more like him. For it's in Jesus' holy and precious name that we pray. Amen. I hope to convince you of something this morning. I hope to convince you that every single living, breathing human being on the planet matters to God. And that means that you matter to God. We are today halfway through our Who's Your One campaign, where each of us have identified one single human soul who is living far from God, for whom we have committed ourselves to pray every single day for 30 days that God might do a miraculous work. And we've even committed ourselves to praying that God might open for us the opportunity to share the precious gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ with this one person. And it may seem to you that just identifying one person is not enough. After all, we talk all the time about how there are 90,000 plus people just in Warren County alone who are living separated from God. What difference could one make? One difference. One makes all the difference in the world. One matters to God. What about Vacation Bible School? We've asked you to reach out to one child, one family, and say, we want you here. We want you to come and experience the love of Christ in the context of First Baptist Church, Bowling Green, Kentucky. We want you to come and hear the gospel of Jesus Christ. What difference could it make just inviting that one child or just inviting that one family? Oh, it could make all the difference in the world. See, we follow a God who sent his one and only begotten Son, Jesus Christ, to come into the world. And while Jesus was here, he told incredible stories, amazing parables. He told the story that God is like the shepherd who, having 100 sheep, though he has the 99, will leave the 99 to go and find the one. He told the story of a woman who lost a coin, who rejoiced over finding just that one, or a pearl of great price. We live in an age where human beings are classified, characterized, and in some ways their worth is even determined by the number of followers that they have, or the number of friends that they have, or the number of likes that they have, or the number of follows that they have, or the number of retweets that they have, or the number of views that they have. And so we very quickly characterize people according to the degree of their fame. That's not how God characterizes human beings. In that sort of a world, it's very easy to become very insignificant in our own minds, but I want you to know that the God who made you loves you. He knit you together inside your mother's womb, and he had plans for you. He still does. Plans to prosper you and not to harm you. Plans to give you hope and a future. That God who made you loves you, and you are of great worth in his eyes. Do you know it could be right now that somebody's rolling over on their couch in their living room, perhaps feeling a headache over some decisions they might have made last night, and they might just be flipping through the channels right now, and they might have landed on WBKO right now. It could be happening in this moment. Do you know what they need to hear right now? They matter to God. You matter to God. Yes, you. One matters to God because God came, sending his one and only Son, Jesus, to come and rescue a world full of ones who were separated from him, but whom he loved so dearly. I want to give you this theme today, and I'm quoting Jesus from Luke chapter 15. Jesus Christ himself said, I tell you, there is joy before the angels of God over one sinner who repents. And so every time I get to share the gospel with somebody and every time they repent of their sin and receive Jesus Christ as their Lord and Savior, the first thing that I tell them is that right now in this moment, the angels of heaven are rejoicing over you. And they give me this incredulous look. They don't quite get it. They don't quite understand. How could the angels of heaven be rejoicing over me? I'm so insignificant. I'm so small. But the Bible says, Jesus himself said, there is joy before the angels of God over one sinner who repents. Because one matters to God. We're going to see that played out. I want to invite you to open your Bibles to John chapter 1. If you're in the Pew Bible in front of you, that is page 887. And if you are a YouVersion user, you can tune in to our live event now. But Jesus said, I tell you, there is joy before the angels of God over one sinner who repents. This is a phenomenal story. You're going to love this story. This is one of my favorite stories in the whole Bible. This is the story of Jesus interacting with some sinners. And I'm glad Jesus interacts with some sinners because that means he might interact with me and he might interact with you. So John chapter 1, beginning with verse 43. The next day, Jesus decided to go to Galilee. He found Philip and said to him, follow me. There it is again. There's this continual phrase that Jesus continues to offer to all people, follow me. Now Philip was from Bethsaida, the city of Andrew and Peter. Philip found Nathanael and said to him, we have found him of whom Moses in the law and also the prophets wrote, Jesus of Nazareth, the son of Joseph. The first thing I want us to see this morning is this. Jesus, who found us, calls us to find others. Jesus, who found us, calls us to find others. I want you to think about the journey of how God found you. Because he did. In John chapter 15, verses 12 through 17, Jesus said this to his disciples. He said, this is my commandment, that you love one another as I have loved you. Greater love has no one than this, that someone lay down his life for his friends. You are my friends if you do what I command you. No longer do I call you servants, for the servant does not know what his master is doing. But I have called you friends. For all that I have heard from my Father, I have made known to you. You did not choose me, but I chose you and appointed you that you should go and bear fruit and that your fruit should abide so that whatever you ask the Father in my name, he may give it to you. These things I command you so that you will love one another. Jesus was saying this to them as he was headed toward the cross and they were going to be without him. After his cross, resurrection, and ascension into heaven, they were going to have to live out the faith once for all delivered to the saints in the context of a hostile world. And he was trying to prepare them for that. But he was reminding them that he was the one who came looking for them. Notice, the next day Jesus decided. That means he didn't just happen upon Galilee. He decided to go to Galilee. Why did he decide to go to Galilee? Because he found Philip and he told Philip, you follow me. Because at some point he's going to look at Philip and say, you didn't choose me, I chose you. I came looking for you. I came to your house. I came to your town. I called you to follow me. And then he's going to find Nathanael. I want you to think about the journey God took to find you. Think about the people that God put in your life. Was it family members? My parents asked my aunt to come and get me, my aunt and uncle to come and get me to take me to Sunday school when I was 3 years old. That was a profoundly consequential moment in my life, that my parents loved me enough and wanted me exposed to the teachings of Almighty God. And they knew that they had a sister and brother-in-law who were committed to a church and were active in that church. And they said, well, come on, let's get it going. And so they did. And so that one little move that seems so inconsequential and so insignificant began a journey in my life that utterly transformed everything. Because there I met people, men and women, who loved me enough to show me the love of Jesus in practical ways, to teach me the truths of Jesus, even at a level that a three-year-old can understand in a little big-picture storybook Bible. And then as I grew, to expose me to the deeper things of the faith, to lead me to Jesus. But all that began with a decision on the part of my parents that they wanted me to have the opportunity to meet the God of the universe. That's a profound move. And all the events that have unfolded. So maybe it was a family member, or maybe it was a friend. Maybe somebody invited you to come to an experience where you heard about Jesus, where you saw the faith lived out. You heard the great gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. When I went to college, there was a fellow football player who pursued me relentlessly, inviting me to come to this college Christian group. And I didn't want to go. I was there to play football. I was there to prepare for a medical career. And look where I am today. I don't play football anymore because they won't let me. And nobody wants me doing any medical procedures. Trust me, I've offered. But he was relentless. You need to come. You need to come. I don't want to come. I'm good. I got stuff to do. You need to come. You need to come. I don't want to come. And every day I had to see this guy, and he was the punter, and I was the long snapper. So I looked at him upside down, throwing a ball to him between my legs all day, every day, and he would say, you need to come, you need to come, you need to come. Maybe a neighbor, maybe you moved in next to somebody. They said, hey, I want to invite you to come and experience this life with me. Maybe it was a coworker. See, all these things seem so random, don't they? But I want you to know that nothing is random in the economy of God. God doesn't waste anything. And so whoever it was that reached you, that got you to be a part of First Baptist Church, to be a part of this fellowship of the believers of Jesus Christ, they weren't put there by accident. And you know what it took? It took them being faithful. Jesus found Philip. And he said to Philip, follow me. And you know what Philip did? He went and found Nathaniel. Because that's the way it works. And it can seem so inconsequential. So inconsequential, but notice what Philip said to Nathanael. We found him of whom Moses in the law and also the prophets wrote, Jesus of Nazareth, the son of Joseph. What's he doing? He's identifying Jesus. He's saying, we found the Messiah. The great prophet that was coming that was like Moses, he's here. Jesus of Nazareth, the son of Joseph. He is the one. So let me ask you this question. What seemingly inconsequential move is God calling you to make that will change somebody's eternity forever? We got VBS starting tonight. We have more than 120 people who have signed up to volunteer. I am overwhelmed by that and so remarkably thankful for First Baptist Church. 120 people who are going to invest in children and families this week heavily. It's remarkable what God has done. We've already got more than 100 kids coming. I mean, it is incredible what God's doing. We have room for more. And so if you're hearing this and you haven't decided yet, come, sign up online or just show up here at 5:30 tonight. We'll get you signed up. Come be a part of what God is going to do. But that can seem so inconsequential, can it? You never know what those small, seemingly inconsequential decisions might do. It might change a child's life. It might change the trajectory of a child's life. It may be a place where a kid who lives in hell experiences heaven. It may be a place where a parent who feels utterly hopeless sees that there is hope in Jesus Christ. You never know what God might do with what seems so inconsequential. Jesus went to Galilee. Why? He decided to go to Galilee. Why did he decide to go to Galilee? Because Philip was there and he was going to find Philip. And then Philip did something amazing. He went and found Nathanael. He said, hey, we found him. We found him. Well, how did Nathanael respond? I love this. Nathanael's response is one of my favorite lines in the whole Bible, not because it's so holy, but because it's so real. Look at verse 46. Nathanael said to him, can anything good come out of Nazareth? Is it possible that we might at times feel superior to other people because of where they're from and where we're from? Or maybe, is it possible that we might feel superior to other people because of where we went to high school and where they went to high school? Or maybe, is it possible that we might feel superior because of what side of town we live on and what side of town they live on? Nathanael's response to Philip's proclamation of Jesus Christ as the Messiah was, really? God's not bringing the Messiah out of Nazareth? How tiny and inconsequential and pitiful Nazareth is. Can anything good come out of Nazareth? We don't like anybody from Nazareth. Number two is this. Jesus, who saved us, is big enough to save scoffers. He's big enough to save scoffers. Philip didn't fight with Nathanael. You know what he said? Come and see. That's it. Philip didn't have to defend Jesus. Philip didn't have to defend the fact that Jesus was coming from Nazareth, the town that to Nathanael seemed so inconsequential to be looked down upon. He didn't have to defend any of that. All he had to do was expose his friend to Jesus and let Jesus do his thing. Come and see. You know, your come and see is going to look different with different people. I'll never forget the first time I actually shared the gospel person to person, face to face with a human being that I didn't know. I'll never forget it. I was scared to death. I had a little Four Spiritual Laws book, and I was shaking. Do you know that God loves you and has a wonderful plan for your life? Pitiful. Scared to death. And that began a conversation that became very real very quick. And this individual grew up with grandparents that he loved who followed one religion and parents whom he loved who were Christians. And this was his response. I don't want to pick the wrong one. I get it. They were mutually exclusive. You couldn't follow this religion and Jesus at the same time. You had to pick. So he understood what was on the line. He understood that you can't coexist when they're mutually exclusive. When we say that Jesus Christ is the only way, the only truth, the only life, there is no other way to come to the Father but through Jesus. So he understood what was on the line. And his response, I'll never forget as long as I live, was, I don't want to pick the wrong one. I can appreciate that. Fair enough. So the conversation twists a little bit. We pivot now to what are the differences. And so we began a discussion of what are the differences between this religion and Christianity. He didn't come to faith that day, but another seed was planted. And you know, our job is not to save people. Our job is to sow the gospel seed and let God be God and save them. So that come and see was a little bit different from one of the guys that I worked with at Scotty's. We were talking about church, and he said, I don't go to church. He said, because the church is full of hypocrites. You know what I said? You're exactly right. And you're talking to one of them. I'm a hypocrite. Because I know the standard of God, and I don't always meet the standard of God. Now, my desire is to live up to the standard of God, and I can only do that empowered by His Holy Spirit, but I don't always meet the standard of God. And so what I say I'm living for doesn't always match the reality of my life, and I'm a pastor. So I told him, I said, you're right. The church is full of hypocrites. It is full of people who don't live up to the standard they proclaim, but we rest in the grace of God. But here is my greater question. You're willing to go to hell because some hypocrites go to church? Seriously? You're going to stand before the judgment throne of God and say, I would not accept your gospel because I didn't like some of the people who were in your fan club? I said, to me, that sounds like a pitiful reason to go to hell. Don't throw the baby out with the bathwater. Are there people in churches who aren't even Christian? Yes. Are there people who say they're following Jesus who do not follow Jesus? Yes. There are sheep and goats. There are wheat and tares, and they all grow up together, and at the end, Jesus will separate them because he sees our hearts. He knows who's in and who's not. But you're willing to go to hell because you think there's some hypocrites? Of course there are hypocrites. Come be one like us. Get better every day and become less hypocritical with each passing day as God, through His Holy Spirit, makes you more like Jesus. Well, I had a buddy when I went to college. I invited him to go to church with me, and he said, I'm not religious. I'm just not religious. So my come and see had to be a little different for him. I'm just not religious. And I said, great, neither is Jesus. Did you know the people that Jesus got the maddest at were the religious people? He called them whitewashed tombs. They looked real good on the outside, but on the inside it was nothing but death and decay. So Jesus isn't religious. Through Jesus, God is calling you into a personal relationship with Jesus Christ, whereby you will have your sin forgiven, and it's not about the rituals you do. It's about the relationship that you have. So it's not about being religious. Jesus isn't religious. Jesus had more trouble with religious people than anybody else because the religious people were trying to put on a facade. They were trying to put on a show, but there was death inside. And Jesus restores us from the inside out. What about my relative? I won't mention what kind of relative, but I've shared the gospel more times than I can imagine. And I finally got a letter back that said, "Look, my God is not your God." That's hard. So my come and see is there, okay, if you're convinced, just tell me why. Just tell me why you're convinced. What is the foundation of your truth claim? Tell me why you can be this certain. I told you I preached a funeral one day, and I had a lady come up to shake the preacher's hand after the funeral, and she said, "You sound so convinced of all this." And I just said, "Thank you and God bless you," and all that one time. But all I could think was, if I wasn't convinced of this, I would not be living the life I'm living right now. If I was not convinced of this, let us eat, drink, and be merry, for tomorrow we die. If I was not convinced of this, I don't know what I'd do, but it sure wouldn't be this. Okay, you're convinced, but what's your basis for truth? I'll tell you my basis for truth. God has spoken. That's my basis for truth. Here's the most dangerous one. Oh, I'm good. I got that covered. I'm a Christian. So the come and see there looks like this. Great, what's a Christian? And in our part of the country, we don't know what a Christian is. You'll hear people say, "Well, I'm a Christian because I go to church and I follow the Ten Commandments." And the response there is, you do? Well, kinda. I go when I can, occasionally. You follow the Ten Commandments? What, I mean, yeah. Do you know what the Ten Commandments are? Because I've heard you tell three lies today. You thought, well, I mean, I try. Well, I said, well, here's a question. Are you kind of going to heaven or are you kind of going to hell? Which one is it? Well, I don't know. A Christian is not somebody who goes to church and follows the Ten Commandments. A Christian is somebody who has surrendered his or her life to Jesus Christ as their only hope of heaven. That Jesus' death on the cross was enough to forgive them of their sin. Jesus' resurrection from the dead might raise them from the dead as well, as they place their hope and faith and trust in Jesus Christ alone for their salvation. So, can I tell you, the God who saved us is big enough to save the scoffers. Can anything good come from Nazareth? Well, come and see. Come and see. Now watch how this plays out. Verse 47. Jesus saw Nathanael coming toward him and said, "Behold, an Israelite indeed, in whom there is no deceit." Nathanael said to him, "How do you know me?" Jesus answered him, "Before Philip called you, when you were under the fig tree, I saw you." Nathanael answered him, "Rabbi, you are the Son of God. You are the King of Israel." Jesus answered him, "Because I said to you, I saw you under the fig tree, do you believe? You'll see greater things than these." And he said to him, "Truly, truly, I say to you, you will see heaven open and the angels of God ascending and descending on the Son of Man." Number three is this: Jesus, who revealed himself to us, will reveal himself to others. Nathanael was moved by Jesus' supernatural knowledge of him. Did you know that around the world, particularly in countries that are closed to the gospel and to missionaries, Jesus is appearing in dreams and visions to people, and they're coming to Christ by the droves? That's amazing. I mean, I've literally talked with people to whom this happened, and they left everything they had known to follow Jesus because they were so profoundly overwhelmed by this dream, this vision, this reality of Jesus Christ presenting himself to them. He found them. But you know, the United States of America right now is not closed off to the Christian gospel. And so while God can reach people however he wants, the way that he has chosen to do this throughout the course of human history is to work through other people to reach others with the gospel. At the bottom of your notes, I've quoted 2 Corinthians 5:20. Paul wrote, "We are ambassadors for Christ, God making his appeal through us. We implore you on behalf of Christ, be reconciled to God." So what if God desires to reach your one, not through a dream or vision, but through the miracle of putting you in their life, through the miracle of getting you to pray for them for 30 days, for the miracle of getting you to share the gospel with them? That's miraculous too. We believe that so much that in your bulletin we've given you a little booklet. This is a life, three circles life conversation guide. This is a simple gospel presentation. And here's what I'm going to ask you to do. We've invested money to give you one of these. And I want you to take this thing, and I want to invite you to read it, to study it, to ponder it. By the way, if you're one of those people who says, I'm a Christian because I go to church and I try to follow the Ten Commandments to get saved, I'd rather you decide now what it means to be a Christian, that you're going to follow Jesus instead of be surprised on the day of judgment. But the worst thing you can do with this after you've read it and prayed through it and studied it is keep it. Whatever you do, don't keep it. Give it away. Give it to somebody who needs it. They may scoff. You may be like Philip saying, hey, look, here's the truth of the gospel. Here's Jesus revealed. And they may say, can anything good come from Nazareth? Can anything good come from First Baptist Church? I mean, I know your preacher. I went to school with him, and I know what he was really like. Come and see. Come and see. Come and see. So we're going to have a time of response. And can I ask you something today? Can we pray today like we've never prayed? We're going to sing, We Are Called to Be God's People. That's hymn number 477. We got more than 100 kids and more than 120 volunteers who are going to be here tonight, all seeking to show people Jesus. We've got more than 250 individuals who have been identified as ones from people affiliated with this church right now. I want to invite us to pray like we've never prayed, that God would reveal His glory through the preaching of His word and through the faithful witness of His people, that all these kids and all these ones might see Christ. Because Jesus said if we would lift Him up, He would draw all people unto Himself. So we're going to have a time of response, and if you need to come and receive Christ, you come and receive Christ. If you've learned today that what you thought was a Christian isn't a Christian, please don't leave without Jesus. You could have a car wreck today, and I'm not joking. Please don't leave this place without receiving Christ. If it's time for you to step into the waters of baptism, to profess Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, you've never done that, come on. It's time. If you're a baptized believer in Jesus and it's time to join this church, to join this mission, to be a light here at the corner of 12th and Chestnut where faith and life meet, come on. It's time to quit playing church. Because people die. And they either go to heaven or they go to hell. And the hinge of whether they go to heaven or go to hell is what they do with Jesus. And our job's to make Him known. So we're going to sing, We Are Called to Be God's People, and indeed we are. And we're going to pray. And if God's calling you to respond, you come. We'll have some deacons up here. If you want to come pray with them, you come. But I believe God is calling us to something profound, something miraculous, something that only He can do. And He's asking us if we'll join in. So the answer is ours. Will you stand with me? Most gracious Heavenly Father, we come to You begging You to move in mighty ways. You tell us in Your word that You are able to do exceedingly and abundantly beyond all that we ask or think. So Lord, we don't even know how to pray, but Your Holy Spirit is now stirring within us groanings that are too deep for words. And so at this time of response, may our response as a church be prayer more earnest than we've ever prayed. And we pray that You would do the miraculous tonight, this week, through the rest of this month, and even as we approach the fall. Let us be willing vessels in Your hands. We are called to be Your people. Let us, in the power of Your Holy Spirit, live out our faith in a way that transforms this city. Father, if there's someone who needs to receive Christ, may they come today. If there's someone who needs to be baptized, may they come today. If there's someone who's ready to join our church, may they come today. Your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. For it's in Jesus' name that we pray. Amen. This time of response is open, and we invite you to come. O beloved of God the Father, significant in His eyes, come.